ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Lori Lightfoot, what she says about the New World Order, okay? I don't agree with the person who's overseeing this video because he calls her a name, and I don't think that's appropriate because she was part of the government. We're to respect those who are in government. But listen to what she says.
Listen to Lizard Lightfoot. And what I want to pinpoint and focus on is what she says at the very end. It's going to take about 50 seconds to get there, but the buildup is worth the wait. Listen to this.
How you do it? My thoughts are, because it's not written into law, it's just a very dominant culture. I think the only way you can do it is a couple ways. One, I'm thinking about an executive order from day one that says, you know, in more legalese than this is not a thing. We will not no longer honor this, because the way that alternative prerogative works is there's got to be compliance with the executive branch, because otherwise it doesn't work. So you got to eliminate that compliance and you make it a mandate, and then you do training, particularly in the city.
Eliminate compliance. I think that was a misspeak, because all tyrants want you to comply or die.
I'll call them licensing departments, whether it's zoning, buildings, housing will be impacted by it, planning certainly, and you pick the people to run those agencies and the deputies that are pledging allegiance to the New World Order and good governance. And you pick the people to run those agencies and the deputies that are pledging allegiance to the New World Order and pledging allegiance to the New World Order and good governance.
Say the word.
Pledging allegiance to the New World Order and pledging allegiance to the New World Order and the New World Order.
Are you totally deranged?
And then I think you have the Inspector General do some spot audits to make sure that there is real compliance.
Pick the people to run those agencies and the deputies that are pledging allegiance to the New World Order and good governments. And then conduct spot audits to make sure there's real compliance. Real compliance with what, Lizard Lightfoot? Real compliance with the New World Order. Guys, they're not even hiding this stuff anymore. They're not even hiding.
There is a lot of stuff out there, and I just wanted to move on from that video, but a lot of them are saying it was taken out of context, that she didn't mean the New World Order when she said New World Order. But this is what the Chicago Tribune had to say. You pick the people to run those agencies and the deputies that are pledging allegiance to the New World Order and good governance, Lightfoot said. Social media users are sharing an edited one-minute video clip of that comment to suggest she's talking about trying to overthrow the government with the New World Order. Other social media posts share a screenshot of her quote to make the misleading claim. Well, what does she mean by pledging the allegiance to the New World Order? I mean, to me, I don't know how you can get around that. An executive order, we're going to now make this allegiance to the New World Order. I think she knew exactly what she's talking about. Interesting choice of words. And if there's nothing else out there, I'd have to say, well, okay, if this is the only person who said something like this, I'd have to agree. Maybe we're taking it out of context, but not at all. This is from the Internationalist and International Institutions and Global Governance Program, and the article is called An Open World is in the Balance and on the Ballot. And I just want to share with you what they have to say about our election. What's in the balance, okay? Our elections, we still don't know what's going on, but I don't want to get into that. But this is what the article said. As Americans cast their ballots Tuesday, and indeed for the millions who already have, they are voting for the future, not just for their own country, but of the open world that the United States helped create. A distinctive element of this global order, particularly since the fall of the Berlin Wall, has been the removal of many restrictions on cross-border flows of goods, money, ideas, and even people. Under every American president since the Cold War, until Donald Trump, the United States championed global integration as a motor of prosperity, a bulwark of peace, and at least implicitly a source of solidarity. It is that open world that is on the ropes today, thanks to disillusionment with globalization. Trump's America First policies and more recently the COVID-19 pandemic, which has dramatically curtailed cross-border exchanges. So Trump is not a globalist. Praise God, right? Thank God he's not a globalist. And this election was so critical to the progressives or the socialists who want to unite this world into a new world order. And Donald Trump has stopped that. He's a patriot. He stands for the American people, but it's not what the new world order wants, and they're doing everything possible to stop it. You didn't see this coming. You're burying your head in the sand. Again, listen to these quotes. These are from well-known people from really around the world. George Bush, 1990. The Persian Gulf crisis is a rare opportunity to forge new bonds with old enemies, the Soviet Union. Out of these troubled times, a new world order can merge under United Nations that performs as envisioned by its founders. So we want the United Nations to control this new world order. Interesting. 32 senators. Two centuries ago, our forefathers, and this is from 1976, brought forth a new nation. Now we must join with others to bring forth what? A new world order. Isn't that an interesting phrase that people keep repeating? This is from Henry Kissinger, 1992. Today, America would be outraged if UN troops entered Los Angeles to restore order, referring to the 1991 LA riot. Yeah, they would be. Tomorrow, they will be grateful. This is especially true if they were told that there was an outside threat from beyond, extraterrestrial invasion, whether real or promulgated, that threaten our very existence. It is then that all peoples of the world will plead to deliver them from this evil. The one thing every man fears is the unknown. When presented with this scenario, individual rights will be willingly relinquished for the guarantee of their well-being granted to them by the world government. You hear what he's saying? There is going to be some kind of catastrophe, some kind of thing that's going to happen. It could be many different things. And the people will plead, you can have our freedom, but save us. We'll do anything. Wow. Wow. Mikhail Gorbachev, 1988. Further global progress is now possible only through a quest for universal consensus in the movement towards a what? A new world order. These guys, unbelievable. They keep saying the same thing, right? David Rockefeller, 1991. We are grateful to the Washington Post, the New York Times, Time Magazine, and other great publications whose directors have attended our meetings and respected their promise of discretion for almost 40 years. It would have been impossible for us to develop our plan for the world if we had been subject to the bright lights of publicity during those years. But the work is now much more sophisticated and prepared to march towards a world government. The supranational sovereignty of an intellectual elite and world bankers is surely preferable to the national autodetermination practiced in the past centuries. Isn't that interesting? You guys, thank you for being quiet, that you didn't speak out about this, but now we've got control. You can say whatever you want. That was in 1991. Again, David Rockefeller. We're on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major what? Oh, crisis! And the nations will accept the new world order. Every time there's a crisis, guys, watch what our government does. They'll take away more and more of our freedom. It's just what happens. Richard Gardner, this is from 1974. In short, the House of World Order will have to be built from the bottom up rather than from the top down. It will look like a great booming, buzzing confusion, to use William James's famous description of reality, but an end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, will accomplish much more than the old-fashioned frontal assault. I think they've already done that. Now it's a frontal assault. Now it doesn't matter. I mean, if you watched when San Francisco, when they had a Democratic meeting, they called themselves socialist. We are socialists. The Democratic Party is a socialist party. Isn't that interesting? So they're not hiding this stuff anymore. It's very, very blatant. 1931. Professor Arnold Toynbee. We are at present working discreetly with all our might to wrest this mysterious force called sovereignty out of the clutches of the local nation states of the world. That's exactly what Donald Trump hasn't done. He's kept us as a sovereign nation. He's a patriot. He's for America. The others are not. That was 1931. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with the elections. But I'll give you a hint. How does Joe Biden feel about the New World Order? Did you ever think about that? Is he for it or against it? We don't have to even guess, right? 1992, Wall Street Journal article, How I Learned to Love the New World Order. Again, that phrase over and over. This is something that's been going on, guys. We shouldn't be surprised by it. We're quickly moving towards a one-world government, and it's just as God has said in his word. These guys think they're in control. God's already told us what's going to happen. I kind of shared this at previous conferences, but I want to lay some groundwork for those of you who are new, because this didn't start in the last 20 or 30 years, as you've seen. It's been going on for a long time. And these kingdoms are related to the 10 toes of the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw and Daniel interpreted as a last world empire. Back in 1968, the Club of Rome had its beginnings with leaders from 10 different countries gathering together for solutions to the world's problems, and their claim was that they had the answers for peace and prosperity for the world. That's a great thing, right? On September 17, 1973, the Club of Rome released a report, Regionalize an Adaptive Model of the Global World System. The document divides the world into 10 political economic regions that they call kingdoms, interestingly enough. Wow. You see where we're at here? We're already doing that. We're not a kingdom yet. We don't have, you know, free travel from Mexico to the United States, Canada to the United States, but we're already there. Isn't that interesting? But there are many Americans, thank God, that are not ready to give up their sovereignty and comply with the New World Order. But many are. So to get people to comply, you have to control their lives from birth until they die and everything in between. And so the battle is between capitalism and socialism. And the push today is for socialism. And for socialism to work, the government has to have absolute control of the people. They control your medical, your food, what you buy, your entire life. That's why they're after small businesses. They want to remove them from the system so their big businesses can control everything that you need. And to keep tabs on people, to make sure they're complying to what you want them to do, you have to have some kind of surveillance system to watch them. And I don't want to freak you out, but today in America, the average American, is filmed 238 times each week by security cameras. So smile a lot, guys. By 2021, it's been estimated that around the world there'll be an estimated 1 billion security cameras filming. Some 10 to 18% will be in the United States. Wow. The article tells us, well, the estimated number of times per person being on camera weekly is 238. The number could surely increase drastically as facial recognition technology becomes more widespread, especially with controversial facial recognition company Clearview AI, which has built a database of more than 3 billion images taken from Facebook, Instagram, and other sites being funded for $8.6 million. interesting. Also, socialism requires a totalitarian dictatorship. If you doubt that, some leaders are for this. Let me share this with you. This is some of Bernie Sanders' campaign organizers in Iowa and South Carolina. And they were caught on tape in early 2020 advocating violence, slave labor, the Stalinist repression of dissidents as part of their social Marxist program. And this is a quote from one of them. "I always said that I'm a communist. I believe everything has been formed by class struggle. I'm all about the complete seizure of the means of production, nationalizing everything, guillotine the rich." Well, isn't that an interesting thing? Because the Bible talks about during the tribulation period that people are going to be beheaded. Wow. Also, socialism requires the removal of guns. Unarm the people, because then you have total control of them. They did that in Venezuela. And look at what happened. And that's what the Democratic Party is pushing for, the removal of guns. Moral revolution. Look at how that's happened. This is from their book, Imagine Living in a Socialist USA. And in a chapter, How Queer Life Might Be Different in a Socialist USA. And this is what they wrote. "The current norms of male and female will be things of the past." Well, don't we see that happening today? "Marriage will be for all, or LGBT people will have the same access to all culture, social, political, and economic structures. Marriage will be for all with no special privileges attached to it. Sexual relations between 16-year-old boys and 40-year-old men will be seen as positive and healthy." Look at what's going on in California. "Think this is far removed? During the Obama administration, we already honored a known sexual predator, Harvey Milk, with a state holiday, his own commemorative stamp, and the Presidential Medal of Freedom." Wow. This is from October 23rd, 2020, before the presidential elections. This is what we're told. In 1984, George Orwell was published. It described a government that controlled the lives of their citizens from morning until night. There was no part of the citizens' life that the government did not control. Most people who read 1984 thought that George Orwell was simply writing about a communist government. But George Orwell was an insider in the push for a one-world government, which would be a communist government on steroids. George Orwell died in 1950 at the age of 47. James Warburg, a member of FDR's Brain Trust, testified before the Senate's Foreign Relations Committee on February 17, 1950, and said, "We shall have world government, whether or not you like it, by conquest or consent." Everything Barack Obama did pushed this country in the direction of a one-world government. If Donald Trump had not been elected president, we might already be part of a one-world government. And with each passing day, the government would control more and more of our lives until they totally controlled our lives. The socialist system we're living under now is nowhere near what the Democrats want to give us. Donald Trump wants to keep the freedoms we have and to be free to do anything that does no harm to others who are not threatening to harm us. Bill Maher said that we need to eliminate religion to save this country. Voting for a Democrat is voting for a one-world government. Isn't that interesting? We have to eliminate religion. Why? And we're talking about really Christianity. Why? Because we love God. We love to obey God, follow his morals, and we love our country. And they don't like that. And then there's the global reset. I don't know if any of you have been following this, but it's a meeting put on by the United Nations, and they gather international business and political leaders, economists, and other high-profile individuals to discuss global issues. Patrick Wood reminds us of this. He says, "For decades, the global elite hid their plans behind environmental extremists, but now they have fully revealed themselves as being the master architects from the very beginning. The World Bank, IMF, and Bank for International Settlements are in coordinated rendezvous to reform the planet." Absolutely. And I'll give you an idea about this meeting that was supposed to take place in January 2021, but it's being put off till a later date. I think it might be June because of the COVID issue. But listen to what we're told. "Driven by the vision of its influential CEO, Klaus Schwab, the World Economic Forum, WEF, is the main driving force for the dystopian Great Reset, a tectonic shift that intends to change how we live, work, and interact with each other. The Great Reset entails a transformation of society, resulting in permanent restrictions on fundamental liberties and mass surveillance as entire sectors are sacrificed to boost the monopoly and hegemony of pharmaceutical corporations, high-tech big data giants, Amazon, Google, major global chains, the digital payment sector, biotech concerns, and so on. Using COVID-19 lockdowns and restrictions to push through this transformation, the Great Reset is being rolled out under the guise of a fourth industrial revolution, in which older enterprises are to be driven to bankruptcy or absorbed into monopolies, effectively shutting down huge sections of the pre-COVID economy. Economies are being restructured, and many jobs will be carried out by AI-driven machines. In a short video on social media, the WEF predicts by 2030, and I'll show you what it says because I'm almost afraid to say it, you will own nothing and you will be happy. In other words, the government owns everything and they will let you use it, your homes, your cars, everything. You don't own anything. And you're going to love it. I don't know what they've been smoking, but man, everything you're going to rent, they strip the right of ownership under the guise of sustainable consumption and saving the planet. The plan for individual citizens could reflect the strategy to be applied to nation states. For instance, World Bank Group President David Malpass has stated that poor countries will be helped to get back on their feet after the various lockdowns that have been implemented. This help will be on condition that neoliberal reforms and the undermining of public services are implemented and become further embedded. In other words, we'll help you out, but you have to follow our rules. If you don't, you don't get help. Wow. On the 20th of April, the Wall Street Journal ran the headline, IMF, World Bank face deluge of aid requests from developing world. Scores of countries are asking for bailouts and loans from financial institutions with $1.2 trillion to lend, an ideal recipe for fueling dependency. In return for debt relief or support, global conglomerates, along with the likes of Bill Gates, will be able to further dictate national policies and hollow out the remnants of nation-state sovereignty. Again, what we see happening is the government wants to control every aspect of your life. What you eat, what you drink, your health care, your job, your income, and the like. And they said, you're going to own nothing and you're going to be happy. I don't even get that. But this is the Great Reset. We're told this. Listen to this. To achieve a better outcome, the world must act jointly and swiftly to revamp all aspects of our societies and economies. From education to social contracts and working conditions, every country from the United States to China must participate, and every industry from oil and gas to tech must be transformed. In short, we need a great reset of what? Of capitalism. Now you know why they're so upset with Donald Trump. He's a capitalist. All this will exacerbate the climate and social crisis that were already underway. Some countries have already used the COVID-19 crisis as an excuse to weaken environmental protections and enforcement. And frustrations over social ills like rising inequality, U.S. billionaires' combined wealth has increased during the crisis, are intensifying. Left unaddressed, these crises, together with COVID-19, will deepen and leave the world even less sustainable, less equal, and more fragile. Incremental measures and ad hoc fixes will not suffice to prevent the scenario. We must build entirely new foundations for our economic and social systems. The level of cooperation and ambition this implies is unprecedented. But it is not some impossible dream. In fact, one silver lining of the pandemic is that it has shown how quickly we can make radical changes to our lifestyles. Almost instantly, the crisis forced businesses and individuals to abandon practices long claimed to be essential, from frequent air travel to working in an office, and I'll add to going to church. Likewise, populations have overwhelmingly shown a willingness to make sacrifices for the sake of healthcare and other essential workers in vulnerable populations, such as the elderly. And many companies have stepped up to support their workers, customers, and local communities in a shift toward the kind of stakeholder capitalism to which they had previously paid lip service. Clearly, the will to build a better society does exist. We must use it to secure the great reset that we so badly need. That will require stronger and more effective governments, though this does not imply an ideological push for bigger ones. Well, if you're going to have a stronger and more effective government, it's going to be bigger. What are you talking about? You see, they make you think, oh, yeah, it's not going to be bigger. Of course it is. They're going to control every aspect of your life.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers. Breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.